All right, we move now to Agenda Paper 13, which will be our last of the meeting. Fair value measurement, specifically the hierarchy.
All right, Agenda Paper 13 then. Good morning, everybody. Last month, the Interpretations Committee received a request to clarify where is the correct fair value measurement, the hierarchy level for securities, debt securities such as government bonds, when those securities are priced using third-party consensus prices. The submitter notes that there are divergent views on the hierarchy. We have summarized those views in paragraph 9 of the paper. View A would support level 1 measurements only when those measurements are based on unadjusted prices from active markets for the identical instrument. And this view also states that prices from pricing services based on in-house models are to be qualified as level 2 or level 3 measurements depending on the observability and significance of the inputs used. The second view that we have been offered is view B, and this view would support a level 1 measurement if this measurement is based on robust and well-established pricing models that would lead to a price that is the most representative price for the security and would also consider the liquidity of the underlying instrument. We have performed outreach, and we have contacted national standard setters, accounting firms, and securities regulators. And the questions that we have asked are in paragraph 12 of the paper. Basically, we have asked what is the most commonly observed classification for those securities in their jurisdictions, and to what extent they have observed diversity in practice. For question one, the majority of standard setters and accounting firms have stated that the most commonly observed fair value measurement is level 2 or level 3. In relation to question 2, no major divergence has been observed among national standard setters. However, among accounting firms, some of them have observed that there is some divergence depending on the instruments and depending on the jurisdictions. For example, sometimes they have observed that government bonds are sometimes classified as level 2, sometimes as level 1. Another accounting firm has stated that this diversity might be motivated by the misunderstanding by some entities, which would trigger the fair value classification based on the quality of the assets rather than on the observability of the inputs used in those measurements. We have also received a response from a regulator, and this regulator also has observed some diversity in practice among jurisdictions. And those observations are in paragraphs 20 and 21 of the paper. We also received some responses after the paper was posted. We have received responses from two national standard setters. One of them basically stated that the most commonly observed fair value hierarchy would be level 2, so view A. The second national standard setter have said that the parties outreach in his jurisdiction would support view B. We also received a late response from another regulator whose answer was pretty much aligned with the first regulator. So we start our analysis in paragraph 22 of the paper. And we have anchored this analysis on a requirement in IFRS 13, which says that the classification of the fair value measurements depends on the significance of the inputs used to obtain such measurements, rather than on the methodology used itself to obtain the measurements. And as a result, then we think that it is key to evaluate and to understand the inputs used in those measurements and the relevant significance of the inputs used in those measurements. When we take a look to the description of consensus prices that has been included in the submission, we note that those are derived from in-house models and that they use a variety of inputs that range from level 1 to level 3. We think that The fact that those methodologies then result in prices that are the most representative prices will not be a sufficient argument to classify those measurements as level one measurements if they are based on level one measurements that are adjusted with unobservable parameters. And because of this conclusion, then we would not consider view B, but we would consider view A, which supports level one measurements when they are based on observable inputs, unadjusted observable prices for identical instruments. As a result, then, because of we think that view A, we agree with view A. We also think that view A represents the requirements of IFRS 13 more faithfully. And as a result of this, then, we would recommend the Interpretations Committee not to take the issue into the agenda. And the question that we have for the Interpretations Committee is whether they agree with the staff analysis and the staff recommendation that we should not take this issue onto the agenda.
Question for the staff. In reading the agenda decision, says the submitter gave us view A, view B, and then the Interpretations Committee noted, and then goes on for a few sentences.
Yeah.
Is there anything in that paragraph that contradicts view A? Or I guess my question is, okay, that's my question, is view A is pretty clear, and then I get to that paragraph and I'm no longer certain about what I'm talking about.
So this paragraph would support that the fair value measurement depends on the analysis of the inputs used in the measurements and their relevance. So if consensus prices are based on a range of level one to level three, those prices would not classify as level one measurements because they are level one plus unadjusted.
Isn't that view A? Okay, Sue, you're going to help me out.
I think there's a subtle distinction between
that's what I'm worried about.
Between the interpretation, what's suggested here for the rejection and view A, because view A to me says if it's a consensus price, it is level two or level three. That's what view A says. Prices from pricing services based on in-house models, brackets, consensus prices, are to be qualified as level two or level three. The committee down below it says consensus prices depends. It depends on how much it moves from level one. So so that would mean that if it's not adjusted for unobservable inputs, that would mean to me that a consensus price could be level one. Whereas view A seems to say consensus prices are either level two or level three. So I'm not sure if there's an intended to be a difference, but there's an implication that they're slightly different.
I think I agree with you. The last sentence makes a statement of fact without qualifying what is a consensus price. I think what view A is saying is that the consensus price or any X type of pricing doesn't mean anything for the classification. It's based on what inputs you have used for that purposes of that pricing. So if those inputs are level one inputs, then it's a level one, irrespective of what you label the pricing system, consensus or anything. So I think, fair point, without that last sentence, I think that's view A. I think the last sentence is the one which is causing the conflict. Was that the conflict in your mind as well?
Yeah, and after our animated decision the other day, I went back and just, that was it.
Fair enough. That's not what you told me.
No, well, that's because we were screaming at each other. So
that's okay.
We basically took for granted that view A was using the description of consensus prices as stated in the submission. So, and the submission was describing consensus prices as using parameters ranging from level one to level three. And that's why we assume directly that view A would consider such a description as consensus prices. Yeah, right.
And which we shouldn't be doing.
Potentially a straw man. Andrew?
Yeah, I have to say, because out of sentence, I agree with essentially with the staff analysis, and I agree that IFRS 13 does contain sufficient guidance. I don't think we should, jumping around a bit here, don't think we can assert the issue is not widespread. I think it's pretty widespread. And as Mary has noted, I think you can it's quite hard to know exactly how the hierarchy levels have been analysed by particular reporting entities, but on the face of it, there is some diversity in practice, partly on a, it seems, a jurisdictional basis. I have observed some reporting entities have shifted things from level one to level two in some jurisdictions based on some local regulatory or interpretive activity. In other cases, described on the basis that they've got a better understanding of what the third-party pricing provider has actually done. And I think that is the key to the whole thing. You've got to understand, if you've got a price from a third party, what did they do? And there is a problem with the penultimate paragraph, final sentence, where we say, if it's been a level one price has been adjusted with an unobservable input, it's no longer level one. You don't need unobservable. If you adjust a level one price, it's no longer a level one price. The opening sentence, the opening paragraph raises a question of if you do have instruments traded on an active market, by definition there is therefore pricing information available on a continuous basis, then why are you adjusting that price? And you're permitted to do so only in very, very restrictive circumstances, including paragraph 79A of IFRS 13. I think that would be a useful reference to include in the agenda decision, because in practice companies do invoke this practical expedient where they could in effect look up the level one price themselves, but they choose to use a pricing provider to price their entire portfolio, and that pricing provider might use particular in-house models, consensus prices that involve adjusting level one prices. I think that's permitted, but we might be helpful to kind of qualify or explain the circumstances in which you can actually get to an adjustment of a level one price in this context.
I think we can refer to the IFRS 13, because one of the things that does come up in the first sentence is that if you have a fully liquid traded market, why are you using consensus pricing?
Exactly.
Now, also let me be clear, I do not see that being absolutely impossible for we can say that we bar it, because if you have the same security traded in three different markets, it depends upon what is that consensus price you're using. You can get different feeds, different cuts, and then just come up with a particular price.
The phrase in IFRS 30, I think, is rely exclusively on quoted prices.
So
it's not the same as saying observable versus unobservable input. Observable input can be something other than a quoted price.
Yes, absolutely. So I'm not saying that I want to bar that completely, but yes, that is a question that comes in. Why are you using that? But I don't think that's the question in the paper. That's what we are doing.
Okay,
just to keep directionality going, Bonnie, and then down the line the other direction.
So I also agree with the staff conclusion on view A. I agree that there are probably some wording tweaks that need to be made. I also agree with Andrew that the last paragraph where it says we observe that the issue is not widespread, I think that needs to be taken out. I think there is some, especially with some of the comments that came after the comment period. But one thing I just was curious to know is I noticed that there was no analysis to FAS 157, which was largely a converged standard on the fair value. I think you would get to a similar conclusion under U.S. GAAP, but I was curious why there was no analysis.
We got the feedback when we were respondents from the constituents, and there was no difference in views, we got from that.
Okay.
We did get the respondents back. Maybe, in hindsight, we should have referred to it, but we don't specifically refer to that. But
I noticed that, because from my perspective, a fair value standard is
converged.
It is converged. Obviously, it is judgmental, but on this particular point, this was an issue that we had to discuss. I know that there's, some practice that's developed in the U.S. market, and I think you do get to the same answer here based on the facts and based on IFRS 13. So.
Okay. And also the divergence which was reported was a lot less in that particular jurisdiction, not just in 157, but also Canada and others. We didn't get much thing, and the clearly view A. You all have had your debates already.
Very much the same as others. I support the conclusion that the staff has reached, support using an agenda decision. I wonder if we can just simplify the agenda decision. It seemed to me that IFRS 13 was perfectly clear. Level one inputs are quoted prices unadjusted. and therefore are troubled by the sentence which implies you might be able to adjust them. And I just wondered if we could, we've talked about a number of things, but I wonder if we're in danger of overcomplicating it. Mm. Say something very simple, refer to what IFRS 13 says, that it's unadjusted. I also agree that we can't say it's not widespread. There may be limited diversity. There is some, but it's certainly a widespread issue.
Bruce?
Similar to Tony's comment, I tell you my concern about the way, I mean, I agree with the decision, without a doubt, but I guess what I'm very concerned about the agenda decision is I think we've given an answer. I think we've said here are two views, and I think if you read through it, especially the last part of the paragraph following the two views, I think we've blatantly given an interpretation on this. And what worries me is I think that somebody could read this and see that what we're saying is we're saying anything that's on a third-party consensus price has to be in level one. Well, if you read it, that's what we're saying. I'm not saying it is. I'm saying it's what we're saying here, because what we're saying is we're saying we've given view A and we've given view B. We then, of course, at the interpretation committee note, and we talk about third-party consensus prices. We then say the interpretation committee noted that if the fair value measurements are not based on quoted prices, et cetera, these would not be classified as level one. And I guess what I'm concerned about is somebody's going to infer out of that that we've given a decision on these, because we're talking about third-party consensus prices.
Oh, I see.
You see what I'm saying?
That type of pricing.
That's
service.
What I'm
so
worried
what
about.
What you're saying is generalize and give the principle rather than.
That's what I'm saying. I agree with Tony. I think the way this is written, I think we're giving an interpretation that third-party consensus price may never be there. Now, whether we agree with that is not what I'm debating. I'm saying I think that what we're doing is we're giving an answer, and I don't think that's an agenda decision. I think Tony's right. I think we should just get rid of 90% of this and say, we think IFRS 13 is very clear on this and just take it out. Yeah.
Input.
That's what's concerning me, yeah.
Given that we never say a standard is very clear.
Well, and here I think we're doing that, so I mean.
But your issue is similar to mine, I think what I was trying to articulate, and that is getting all wrapped up in consensus pricing and methodologies. We ought to just cut to the heart of the matter, okay? John?
Yeah, my comments are pretty similar to the ones that have gone before. I think the agenda decision, I mean, I don't know why we set out both views there in such detail. I think we can simplify it by just actually summarizing the issue brought and then that we think sufficient guidance exists in IFRS 13 and why. So I would simplify it. I mean, I agree with the analysis that's been performed. So.
I think in all fairness, and thank you, we have got some advanced drafting suggestion from Reinhardt, which came in, which actually addresses and says that stick to the words in the standard, simplify it and put it in, we will use those.
Charlotte?
Yeah, I generally agree with the comments that have gone before. I mean, I would have removed that sentence on adjustments. I think, as far as we're concerned, not all pricing services or consensus pricing services are the same. It depends on the nature of the service, and that's what you look at, and your knowledge of how the inputs are calculated and how they come from is key. I was a bit confused about whether there was or wasn't diversity, to be honest, from the feedback. A lot of the feedback you seem to have got seemed to say there wasn't, but then the submitter clearly said they thought there was a lot of diversity. So I wouldn't say
a lot. Go on. Yeah.
Well, national standard setters, the majority, they said that they did not observe diversity in practice. All of the accounting firms have said that they have observed that the most commonly fair value measurement would be aligned with view A, level 2, level 3. However, they are aware of or they believe that diversion might exist because of this or this. But there is not much of a strong evidence that we have been given to really back up divergence, although there is a belief that there is.
I guess my view would be that we haven't really come across much divergence in practice. There may be a difference in the way people assess the inputs, but the process is the same. And I would say, to Bonnie's view, that the US GAAP and IFRS are aligned here. I've never seen a difference in this bit. So.
I think the input from the regulator probably is the
one which talks about the divergence.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
But the other thing also, Sean, if you look at it just from the financial statements, I would say that in certain jurisdictions, you might have a particular instrument as level one, which would be level two, and similar instrument level two in another jurisdiction because of the market differences or structural differences. So for the firms also, it's very difficult for them to look at the financial.
Why you get your different
exactly.
Yeah.
You might get classified differently, but you won't know exactly why. Mm. And there could be a very valid reason for it.
Reinhardt?
Yep.
Last call.
Yeah, I was just going to echo the comment that Charlotte made, and I think others implicitly have made, which is it would be helpful for the agenda decision to go back to the principles and to say that using a pricing service in and of itself doesn't change the categorization. You have to understand the level, the leveling that was done, or the whether it was based on quota prices in active markets that are unadjusted to be level one, etc.
For that matter, you couldn't decide whether it was level two or level three without that same understanding.
That's where most, in all fairness, that's where most people said that if there were debates, it was between the classification between level two and level three, and that I can imagine because it involves a lot more judgment, not whether it was level one or level two.
Okay. Martin, any additional comments?
Yes. Well, pricing service might sound negative. Well, for sure, with level two, there is some negative touch combined with. The question is, what is really the background? And if I understood from my jurisdiction the background correctly, then we have sellers offering some bonds for, well, non-binding price, and then you have the buyer acceptance, and then the seller could still reject. However, this is this nearly never happens. So 99.5% of all these deals are executed. And on this trading platform, there's a very huge volume of billions of euro. And this is probably the background on the question, well, is this probably the better pricing information? More or less, we have this kind of liquid market. And therefore, we are within level one, or is it level two? Because in general, level two then is interpreted to be OTC, well, not so with not such a high trading frequency and not such a high trading volume. And therefore, judgment was required. And well, if we come back to the overall idea, what should level one, two, and three tell us? Then, my personal opinion that it might be really very judgmental whether we are in level one or level two, probably closer to level one. But then, probably an additional, say, disclosure: what happens and why, with what amount might be necessary. To enable also analysts or financial statement users to see exactly what has happened. And this might be then challenging jurisdiction by jurisdiction and platform by platform wise. So the more clear and strict way for sure would that what we have written in the agenda decision and say, okay, if it is not a traded market price, then it is level two. However, according to my mind, within level two, there might be a very, very widespread diversity of what is in. And that seems to be challenging, specifically for analysts to find out what is there and why.
I'm not sure we can deal with specific cases, so I'm just going to withhold a comment on it because we don't have the facts in front of us in the paper. So it's a probably a fair question, Martin. We just can't deal with it right now. Other than that, do you support the staff recommendation?
Yes.
Okay. Sandy?
My comments are similar to others, but I would make an observation on Martin's comments. I think that people are more aware than they used to be that level two can be even more dangerous than level three, in that they don't. There's a lot of things that go into level two, and there's a lot of diversity in what actually exists in there and how it's actually priced.
By diversity, you mean it's just a sufficiently broad category that there's lots of different dogs and cats in there than, okay, not as
yeah,
to
exactly.
Not
yeah,
as
exactly.
To
well, yeah,
classification.
Yep. Yep.
Okay. Fei Long?
yes, I think it is, the staff is heading in the right direction. There are analysis and recommendations. I also share the views of some of the members on the simplify the decision, voting for the decision.
Okay, that leads me to my next point. I heard two comments with sufficient frequency. One was we need to take out the reference to it's not widespread, mm-hmm. which at a minimum is gratuitous because we can reach the conclusion whether it is or isn't. So. Then I heard a lot of suggestions about simplifying the analysis, specifically deleting the two views.
And also removing the reference to consensus pricing or any kind of a specific pricing technique. I think what I took away was that do not go into the specific, stay within the principles of 13,
right.
Simplify it,
right.
And read out.
I would accept that as well. I think if you take out view A and view B, you then need something that leads you into the next paragraph about what you think the answer is.
Yeah, we do need to answer the question. We will try and draft it using the words in 13 because I think the answer needs to be given.
Well, but I mean you have to summarize the submission a little
differently.
Given that, any objections? Okay, you'll see it in update, so if it runs afoul there, you'll let us know.
Let us know, yeah.
And you've gotten specifically from Reinhardt and maybe
I
a couple
have. Thank you for those of you, who, and also Andrew, for those of you who gave us the advance comments. No, thank you.
Okay. That, as they used to say, is all she wrote. Any final comments, observations? None appearing, we'll proceed to close. Thank you, gang. It's been a good meeting.
Name not recorded has left the conference.